It's Thursday, April 2nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, I'm streaming live and also up recording audio via podcast here in the great state of Texas. I got a great show lined up for you. Kind of a unique setup tonight. We'll talk a little bit about that, but got lots to share with you, including where's my clothes? We'll talk about that in a minute. Strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the great state of Texas. Everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Yes, you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, and I'm up live via the portable studio here in the Hilton Hotel and in the great state of Texas, and the bandwidth is absolutely horrible. We're live streaming via Ustream via my EVDO card, and it seems to be holding okay. We got some people in the Ustream room. Of course, it's real early for me to be recording a podcast. It's 6:30 in the evening here. And the reason I'm doing that is I'm waiting for my cell phone to ring with United Airlines, because I have been without a bag, clothes bag, for the last 24 hours. I flew into Dallas yesterday afternoon, was waiting at the luggage area, and out popped the portable studio and the storm case. It came through. But as I sit there and waited and waited and waited, my luggage didn't show up. And lo and behold, no suitcase. So, you know, irritated because I need clothes. And I'd only traveled like 15 hours to get to my location. I was already feeling pretty nasty, needing a shower, and not having any clothes added to a little bit of frustration. So, filed a claim there. And basically got in my car and went to the hotel. Well, now they have found my bag. Miraculously, 24 hours later, when the flight came from Honolulu to Denver, the bag showed up. Even though Honolulu said they didn't have it, and Denver said they didn't have it, somehow the bag showed up miraculously, and they put it on a flight from Denver down to DFW. Well, the problem is that they have a very high wind warning at DFW, and my clothes are still in a belly of an aircraft somewhere trying to get down here. And so I'm going on 26 hours without any clothes, so that's been fun. So I went to Walmart last night and picked up some essentials to get me by, and I'm essentially, you know, Walmart. I haven't shopped in Walmart in years, and you guys kind of know I don't normally shop in Walmart because, yeah, you know, I like to support local businesses and not big national conglomerates, but I didn't have much choice last night. But I did pick up a $9 pair of jeans and a shirt. It was a, you guys can see it on Ustream. It's actually a pretty nice shirt. It's a Dickies work shirt. So I've been wearing that today. Hoping to have my own clothes here soon. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. I would almost bet it's going to be a day two before I get my bags. Now, here's something I want to share with you guys. You know, I'm a 1K flyer, and, you know, I really didn't think anything about it. I went and filled out the claim, and I went through, and, you know, after about the fifth time of calling the, basically, the check-in line to check and see if they found your bag yet, which is all computerized, of course, they hadn't found anything, but I said, agent, to their computer control, and transferred me to an agent. Oh, sir, you're a 1K. We need to send you over to the 1K lost bag desk, and they sent me over there. And how things changed in response to service support. They were wonderful, but it made me think a little bit. Anytime someone's traveling and they lose a bag, that's really high stress, right? You lose a bag, you don't have a suitcase, You know, your stress level's high and you're dealing with a computer. I was completely frustrated. And to think that how many thousands of bags do they lose a day? I don't know. But it actually made me feel guilty a little bit. But they found the bag. And yes, the 1K off thing is supposed to call me here soon. We'll see if it rings. And we'll see if my bag actually shows up. What does that have to do with a tech podcast? Absolutely nothing. But I thought I would share with you guys my flight out. At least it wasn't my studio. You know, I can kind of live without clothes, but I got to have the studio to do the show, and brings up some good questions for me today. Do any of you travel with electronic gear, and do you insure your suitcase that your gear comes in? Can you insure that separately? I don't know, but it's worth looking into for sure. Anyway, here I am in Texas, and the meetup on this coming Saturday is going to go down in Austin. I've been told to go to Bone Daddy's. Bone Daddy's is the place to go in Austin for lunch. So we're going to do lunch in Austin at Bone Daddy's. I'll be emailing all those folks that had said, hey, where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going? I made a decision. We're going to Bone Daddy's. So I will report back to everyone on what Bone Daddy's is like. Everyone said, oh, you got to go. It's a great place to restaurant, a great place to go. So we'll see. And anyway, I'll email everyone in Austin for the meetup on Saturday. It'll be lunchtime. And so it'll take me a couple hours to get down there. No big deal. But looking forward to meeting up in Austin on Saturday at Bone Daddy's. Okay, what else? Hey, if you're new to the Geek News Central podcast, I want to welcome you to the show. This show is normally recorded as an audio podcast, but I do a kind of a video thing as well on Ustream. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out the archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Make sure you get signed up for our newsletter. Our newsletter will deliver the show notes of everything I talk about tonight, all the great articles, all the great tech, all the great listener submissions, that will get in the show notes and get delivered to you via email immediately following the show. So sign up for the newsletter. And of course, we definitely want you to subscribe to the podcast. You can do that via the podcast, the iTunes link on the website, or Zune Marketplace, or just subscribe via your podcatcher that you have, that you're using to automatically get the podcast with, and tell people about the show, and that will help us out. But I'm here for the next three shows in Texas. I'll be moving around quite a little bit, so looking forward to spending some time here. The wind is like howling, and you know, I've never been in Texas when the wind was blowing like this, but it's crazy. It's really crazy how much the wind is blowing, and the National Weather Service has issued a high wind warning, and we'll see how it goes here. But anyway, it's great to be back in Texas and doing a little business here for the next few days. Someone on Ustream said I should go buy a lotto ticket. Absolutely. They sell lottery tickets here. They don't sell them in Hawaii, so I will be supporting the local economy by buying a few lottery tickets. I don't promote gambling, but I guess that's what it is, right? Okay, let me go ahead and of course, take a few moments here and thank our sponsor of the show. If you're looking for a... And by the way, I got March's totals in. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for making March a fantastic month with GoDaddy. Many of you renewed your domain names, renewed hosting accounts, bought new hosting accounts, bought new domains, got dedicated servers. It's really helps me keep the lights on here at Geek News Central. Of course, when you're over at GoDaddy.com, you're looking for a domain name, looking for a dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account. When you get to that checkout counter, don't forget the promo code TODD. That'll save you 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. And the best one, Todd20, will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. So you sign up for 1 year on a shared hosting account, use that Todd20 code, you get 20% off, plus the additional GoDaddy discount that they offer for the one-year discount. And, of course, it wouldn't be a show without our great sponsor, GoToMeeting, and kind of a new little thing going on this quarter with GoToMeeting. I'm pretty excited with what we've got in place. And really, you know, there's an old way to meet for business, either over the phone or in person. But there's also a new, better way to meet clients and colleagues online with GoToMeeting. You know, GoToMeeting is like meeting in person, but it's less time-consuming and less expensive. You can start building, you can start meeting with just a click. Everyone sees your desktop on their computer screen so they can follow along as you move from page to page. Use GoToMeeting for sales presentations, product demos, training sessions, even collaborate on documents by sharing screens in real time. You know, I've used GoToMeeting. It's great. I, you know, I promote it here because we use it all the time. And you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day trial. You guys noticed a little bit of a problem with the script there? I messed that up. Hey, but anyway, thanks for GoToMeeting for being an ongoing sponsor here. And, you know, get that free 30-day demo. GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. Okay, lots of tech, lots of stuff to talk about. Not as much as I expected for a typical Friday show. And once again, I am building the show differently now. As I talked about before, I've been using I'm using Firefox, actually going into Google and actually using Google to build off the show. So that's so far working pretty good. Now let's start right off with an article off of Engadget talking about Microsoft is essentially advertising for a job that hints at a Zoom service for the living room. You guys know I'm a big fan of the Zoom Pass. My daughter is. She uses, you know, basically gets all the music she wants for a low monthly rate. And even though the Zoom actual player, and actually we got some email from a listener on the Zoom this time around, you know, even the Zoom hasn't been selling good, it's really a great deal for kids. And it keeps her from having to even, she doesn't even have to consider any peer-to-peer or sharing, stinkernetting with her friends and so forth. Matter of fact, her friends say, you know, she's the envy because she's got all these cool tunes and she keeps them updated. But they're talking about having a Zoom service in the living room, some sort of a connected TV interface. They're advertising for people to build that, so we'll see if they bring Zoom to a living room environment. You know, they got a long ways to go there because, you know, quite honestly, the Apple TV and some of the other devices out there are doing a lot of that. But they don't have these all-you-can-eat subscription models, which Zoom does. But I think it'd be cool if I could have the Zoom on my television and have an interface where I had an all-you-can-eat plan. It would make me really think about it, really would. Now, I thought this was an April Fool's joke, and I've been reading all over the place to kind of make sure that it wasn't. But Google, on April Fool's Day, it uncloaks its once secret server. Now, you think, okay, Google, man, these guys are like high-tech. They got everything dialed in, and they're showing their servers, and it looks to me like the actual server itself sits in like a aluminum tray. It's got a power supply, like aluminum tray, a couple hard drives, looks like some sort of a mini battery backup and a motherboard with a whole bunch of RAM. All I can say is it really looks like a hoax. It looks like an April Fool's joke, but you know, I've read all over the place, you know, comments of people saying, hey, this is a joke, and everyone's saying, no, it's not. Anyway, I'll have this linked up in the show notes. If you haven't seen it, it's worth a look because I'll be honest with you, it's pretty cheesy. You know, I was expecting something a little more exotic, especially, you know, here you've got this aluminum pan, essentially a pan that this thing sits in. And it's very interesting. Anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. And I guess this is the real deal, but talks about how efficient they are, and there's all kinds of, you know, hoopla about this because this is the first time anyone's seen, quote-unquote, one of their super secret servers. Now, what? You know, how many? What's the biggest screen you guys got on your computer desk? You know, have you got a, you know, 21-inch? Do you have a 24-inch? What size do you have? How about a 56-inch monitor? Yes, you heard me correct. A company called Ezio They're pretty much known for having these less than affordable LCD monitors, has introduced a 56-inch LCD that boasts a resolution of 3840 by 2160. Wow. And what they're selling, who they're selling these to are operating rooms where basically they can have an EKG, they can have two or three different x-ray machines up, they can all have all these different windows of all these different things that are going on in within an operation on a big flat 56-inch screen. You think about, okay, now I have a 60-inch Sony television at my house. It's a projection type. Had it for a couple of years, high def, and that's huge. And I'm thinking to myself how big that is, and then 56 inches. This is unbelievable. Now they don't say what the price is, and but oh my goodness, what would you guys do with a 56-inch LCD? I know what I would use it for. I'd have it up in my office, and then I would have all kinds of news feeds going on it. Wonder what it costs. I wonder what if I could get Ezio to be a sponsor of the show and send me one of these. I'm sure the monitor's like $25,000 or something ridiculous. Don't know what the price is, but I'm pretty impressed that they're actually selling these things. All right, those of you that are Mac fans, hey, you probably caught wind of this gentleman who modded his Apple logo on his MacBook by putting an actual LCD behind the Apple logo. If you want to know how he did it, he's got step-by-step instructions on how to build this, and shows the entire stripped-down features and what you actually have to do to make it happen. Pretty cool. This guy did a smart mod here and took a lot of work. This is not for the faint at heart. Be forewarned here that this can be this will be a bit of a challenge. But if you want a unique MacBook with an LCD display behind your Apple on your MacBook, this would be the way to go. And I'll have the link, of course, up in the show notes. All right, do any of you have family members who are suffering from Parkinson's disease? Well, there's a new test being done right now in the UK, and what they're doing is they are essentially, it's kind of like a pacemaker type device where they implant a battery type device under the skin. They run wires up through your neck into your cortex, and actually it attaches in two places in the brain. Now, this is just completely blows me away. They say the procedure to install it is quite non-invasive, and I'm thinking anytime you're drilling to someone's head and hooking some cables up, that's got to be invasive. But so far, pretty positive results for those that are Parkinson's disease sufferers. And so experiments going on. Who knows? Maybe another 10 years, this will be a common treatment for Parkinson's disease sufferers. And, you know, there's a percentage of us out here, folks, that are going to end up with that. So I guess we'll keep track of what's going on there. Hey, the cat and mouse game with the iPhone version 3 is ongoing. The 3.0 firmware from Apple has now been jailbroken by the team that has been most notorious. The dev team has went ahead and hacked the iPhone. So now if you have if you're worried about not being able to jailbreak your 3.0 iPhone when it's released, be assured that the game continues and you'll be able to do so. Okay. Getting ready to go down to Austin, right? Well, those of you in San Antonio, Rochester, New York, those of you in Greensboro, North Carolina, guess what you are? You're the next cities to suffer Time Warner's draconian bandwidth caps. Yes, I am sad to say the home of South by Southwest, Austin, Texas, is next. And you guess what? 40 gigs is it, folks. Do you down in Austin have any other choices besides Time Warner? 40 gigs is the high-end cap. And it's going to cost you $55 to have a 40-gig cap. I'll be honest with you. It scares me to death because in Honolulu, Time Warner's it. And if they bring on Caps, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this show live and stream it like I do. You know, this is not good. This is bad, bad, bad. Those of you in Austin, San Antonio, Rochester, New York, and Greensboro, North Carolina, you need to pick up the phones right now and scream as loud as you can and for as long as you can at the Time Warner customer service rep that picks up the phone. I'm warning you guys. I warned you, warned you, warned you that this is coming. And Austin and San Antonio, Time Warner has you in their bullseye. It was announced today in the interview on Business Week. The guy basically said, hey, most of our customers only use 2 or 3 gigs a month. Well, I know Geek News Central listeners don't use 2 or 3 gigs a month. So pick up those telephones, start blogging, start screaming. You may not be able to do anything about it, but you can vote with your feet. If Comcast is in your area, you know, they have 250 gig caps. AT&T is 150. You know, all of them suck. You know, let's be honest about it. You know, it's time. It's time that, you know, we form some sort of coalition and start putting our own infrastructure in our communities. This just is wrong. So if you rent 5 HD videos and download them from iTunes, it's going to cost you $5. It's a dollar a gig over 40 gigs. Okay? I wonder what my bill is going to be. This just pisses me off, to be honest with you. It really does. Okay, details will be in the show notes. All right, the Hulu / Boxy game, they continue. Hulu over the weekend, basically you could only get to their site by going HTTPS, and they were encrypting everything. And just as a way to stop the folks from Hulu from parsing the site, well, guess what? It didn't slow the Boxy people down. They went ahead and made some changes to their the crawler. And yes, you still can watch Hulu on Boxy. When is this dumb game going to stop? When is, you know, Hulu going to understand? Well, what Hulu's going to do is they're going to sue Boxy. That's what's coming. You know that's what's coming next. But, you know, I continue to be a big Boxy fan. And, you know, if you are watching stuff on Hulu, you need to, you know, leave comments that you want to watch on other devices. You know, because it's, you know, that's the way to go, right? All right, let's talk a little bit about April Fools. Let's talk a little bit about the roundup of pranks. Well, of course, there was a fake article about Pirate Bay being sold to Warner Brothers. There was a Google thing out, and Google Mobile has a new psychic cure available. If you were tired of replying to a Gmail, there was a new product called Autopilot that would auto reply to your email, and Yahoo 100% turned to your beliefs. So this is, I don't understand. Pick your ideology, then get results. Oh, okay. That's something they did on Yahoo. The Dig on Dig was Color Me Red. What else did they have? Oh, boy, what else? There wasn't a lot of stuff. Didn't you have any big ones, for sure? So anyway, I'll have the linked up to some of the April Fool's jokes that happened on April 1st. No April Fool's jokes from Geek News Central, as you saw. It was a pretty calm day on the blog over there. All right, today here I am. Here I am in Texas. And I'm in a nice Hilton Hotel, one of their flagship hotels. And I did a broadband speed test last night and this morning and this afternoon. And the highest I got was 0.26 megabits per second down and 0.26 megabits up. And, you know, luckily I'm not paying $9.95 for this, but I called down to the front desk and complained. I've complained 3 times. And, you know, I'm done. I'm going to move out of this hotel if they can't get the speed fixed. When you travel these days, a hotel, better service, or guess what? I'll take my business elsewhere. So if you're Hilton, if you are a Hilton executive, you need to listen up, because you know, I, over the next couple of months, will be staying in your properties as much as 45 days due to business things that are coming up. And guess what? If you don't have good broadband, I will take my business elsewhere and give the probably close to $4,500 that I will spend in your hotels to other companies. Over at GigaOhm, he's complaining about the same thing, but not only just about what's going on you know, in hotels, but what's in his homes. Now, here you've got Time Warner that wants to charge you for any bandwidth over 40 gigs. But, you know, when you're getting upload speeds that are dismal at best, and when you're, especially when you're guaranteed a speed, you know, my speed at home, I'm guaranteed a meg up. That's what they guarantee me. I get a meg up. But, you know, I never get a meg up. Maybe 300K, maybe 400K if I'm lucky. So, you know, what are we going to do? When are we going to start holding these companies accountable for their advertising? And they advertise, all right, you're supposed to get 9 megs down. You're supposed to get 2 megs up. Guess what? 2 megs is 2 megs. You don't get 2 megs, you better start picking up the phone and complaining to your internet service providers. Until we pick up the phone, folks, and start complaining and start really raising Cain, then it's not going to get any better. Okay? They're going to ignore us. But, you know, if you're an active user of the internet, that upload speed is important, okay? It really is. Pushing videos, doing uploads of stuff. Maybe you don't notice it. Maybe you don't do enough uploading to even notice the difference. But I can guarantee you, download something, it comes much, much quicker than it can if you try to push something up. And when you're trying to share home videos and stuff, then you'll feel my pain and others' pain as well. So, you know, hold these companies responsible. I have this link up about this article is called The Ugly Truth About Broadband Upload Speeds. You know, I didn't have this problem in Japan. My sister-in-law, I told you, she had, she doesn't do a lot of, you know, heavy-duty lifting and stuff, but she had 6 megs up, 6 megs, and it was amazing. I was uploading videos, bam, bam, that quick. Gosh. When will we learn to hold these companies accountable? All right, little news out of Sony. Sony has introduced a HD camcorder designed for a traveler, the HDR TG5V Handycam. Captures 1920 by 1080 HD video with a 4 megapixel photos. It's got a compact design, includes 16 gigs of flash memory. And it's got an embedded GPS, which is pretty cool. It's got a real slick, small design. So if you're looking for a high-quality product, Sony's introduced a new one. Now, I don't know exactly what's going on with the GPS, how that integrates. I guess it gives you, stamps your video on where you're at or something like that. But this is a new one that's out. Let me look and see if they show what the price is. It's going to ship in May for about $1,000. So is this my call for my, no, it's not. I know who this is. So we'll hang on a second. Let me see if this is my bag. Hello, Todd speaking. All right. I'll probably be over in about 45 minutes to get it. Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
Ha ha. You heard it. My bag is here. All right, close. See, this is what a podcast is all about, folks, live to hard drive. Yes, I have clothes. You don't know how excited I am. Okay, so let's move on anyway. So if you're looking for one of these portable Sonys, they'll come out in May, very small handheld. And, you know, this is, they're trying to compete with the Flip. But you know what? At that price, they're not going to. But, yeah, good on them. We'll see what happens with this. All right, Clearwire. You know, the thing about Clearwire is I'm excited about is we're getting ready to get Clear. Is they're going to be their WiMAX offering in Hawaii. And a lot of times I will travel and wish that I could take my Clear receiver with me. And it's pretty big. It's about this tall. And I go to some cities, but it just doesn't make any sense to pack it up. And no one uses it when I'm not home. But Clear has a new device. It's a combination of a Clear USB modem with a Clear spot. Basically, what it is going to be a small box that you can travel with you. If there's a Clear signal, you turn it on. and it connects to the Clear Network. And then all you have to do is turn on your Wi-Fi, and you'll be able to connect to the Clear Spot, is what they're going to call it, with your standard Wi-Fi, and connect up to the little device. I knew this was going to be coming out. They had talked to us about this at CES 2009. So they're saying it's going to be interchangeable with the Clearwire and Clear service. So this is cool. It's going to be really cool. Can't wait to see it. And actually, pricing and availability, it's going to be about $139, and it'll be available in early April. And really, this is a new router, and it's the first ClearSpot Wi-Fi-enabled device. And so we're going to see more of these ClearSpot-enabled products over time. So just think about the power of this. You take this with you, this little device. Now, they don't say anything if it's going to run on a battery or not, but you know, if you have a standard plug-in and you're in an area where there's clear, guess what? You're going to have really almost this 4G speed that WiMAX is going to, and I shouldn't interchange the two because WiMAX and 4G are different. But, you know, really, this network's going to be very speedy. So I'm looking forward to it. Gamers, you have a little small networks. I'm excited. I really am. It's going to be a cool device. And I can't wait for a nationwide rollout. Now, Verizon's right behind them. They're working hard, too. So I think within the next year or so, we're going to see some new options brought to the table. All right, Atlantis has been rolled out to the pad for the Hubble mission. You think about this. Okay, here we are. We are we're April 2nd, and we're about a month away from probably the biggest servicing mission, probably one of the most exciting shuttle missions to date. You know, it's cool. They go up to the International Space Station, but this time they're going out there, and they're going to be all alone. They're going to be working on Hubble. Basically regenerating, putting new life into it. So I'm excited about this launch, excited about this mission. We'll see what's going on. The launch is scheduled for May 12th, and this will be STS-125, and it's the fifth and final Hubble servicing mission. So we'll keep you informed. Of course, there will be a lot more news coming out about this. We'll be talking about it. Hey, those of you that are thinking about podcasting, we've just made it a lot easier over at blueberry.com. The biggest problem people seem to have beyond making the media is kind of the uploading process. You know, people get confused about FTP. They don't fully understand sometimes what's happening when a web application's doing the uploading. You know, this is actually, you know, for those of you that are geeks, you're thinking, oh, that's not a big deal, Todd. I've uploaded stuff via web interface before. But for beginners, it's always been a challenge. So I have to read this post. This is kind of funny. You guys will like this. Brian Wordsmith this. And Blueberry Uploader makes a drag something pretty cool. We know we're tools in a good way. That's why you can come to us. We're always looking out for you and bringing you the most advanced applications in podcasting. That's why you know that when we say the Blueberry Uploader blog posting tool, the latest innovation for our hosting clients, is a drag, we mean it in a good way. It's pretty self-explanatory, really, and the tool itself is just easy to use. And what's cool about the way he said that is all you do is you grab the media file, drop it on the box, and it pushes it up to the cloud and basically sets it up so you can hit the publish button on your podcast. Makes it real simple, easy. Anyone can use it, and we're pretty excited about this new little tool. Just another little thing we're kind of playing around with and added to our arsenal of tools for podcasters. So I know that was a completely shameless plug, but I am pretty proud of some of the tools we're coming out with over there. And I hope if you're considering doing a podcast, you'll think about us first. Verizon says that 4G wireless broadband is coming to rural areas. They're saying that rural residents stuck with dial-up have something to look forward to that Verizon is promising, but to put its 700 megahertz spectrum winnings to good use. Now, remember, they spent a lot of money for that 700 megahertz spectrum. So, you know, they got that spectrum last year. And they were definitely the biggest winner in that. So Verizon says that they've promised that its 700 megahertz spectrum is going to be used to deliver 4G to areas that the company has not been able to reach so far. And the company plans to make 4G available in 25 to 30 additional markets during 2010. The blanketing major metropolitan areas is always going to be one of the things that they've got planted, but they're going to be spending a lot of money on rural infrastructure. So this could mean big things. You know what it could mean? if the speed is high enough, those of you that have been stuck in the city and not been able to move out because if you're afraid that you're not going to have broadband, this will be your chance when this comes out to finally be able to break free of city life and move to someplace more remote. When I talk about the country, and my mom lives in the country, you literally could, not that you would do this, don't get me wrong, you could run naked in your birthday suit in the front yard, scream at the top of your lungs, and your neighbors would not hear you or see you to call the police. That's what I'm talking about, rural. So if they bring 4G to that type of an area, it's basically going to allow us a lot more opportunities to not be stuck where there's a broadband connection. So very cool stuff, and we'll keep an eye out on Verizon and the Clear offerings as they're introduced. Now I have to be real careful here. I'm moving over the tabs. Yeah, I thought I was going to do that and jumped here. All right, Wired.com. Do you guys even care about Wired.com? Have any of you ever subscribed to Wired? Well, Wired, Condé Nast, I guess, is the company that owns Wired. They took a 12% staff hit. They were laid off 12% of their staff. That's huge. You know, this is the second time in 5 months that Wired has trimmed its staff. And the company laid off, they only had 25 full-time staffers. So they laid off three. So that makes sense that it was 12%. Not as bad as what was kind of initially being reported. But in November, they had to lay off 10. So this makes a total of 22% of their work staff. Probably not works how many total numbers there, but another company, another traditional company being laid off. And I wonder if Wired will go the way of the dinosaur as far as being actually a printed publication. How many of you have a Slingbox? Well, older Slingboxes are incompatible with the Sling iPhone app. I want to talk about the Sling iPhone app a little bit. When we are out at the Consumer Electronics Show, Andy McCaskey got a chance to talk with the folks at Sling. They demoed their iPhone app, and it was pretty cool. And if you're a Sling user and you're an iPhone user, this is an app that you're going to want to get loaded up on your iPhone right away, because you can use it to schedule your recordings. You can get it to stream to your phone, all kinds of cool stuff here. It's a pretty cool device. It will work with most of the newer generation, but the first few models, it's not going to work with. So if you got an older model, you may want to consider upgrading. I think they're going to be offering some discounts for you, but it is sad that it's not fully reverse compatible, but sometimes that happens. You know, the technology in the box doesn't support, you know, some of the new cooler stuff that you're trying to do. And heck, you know, here's the key. Put that Sling box on Craigslist before the word gets out. Get out there and sell it, and then go buy your new one, right? That's the way to get rid of that older gear. Newsweek is reporting that the Cyber Security Act of 2009, introduced in the Senate, would allow President Obama to shut down private internet networks. The legislation also calls for the government to have the authority to demand security data from private networks without regard to any provision of law, regulation, rule, or policy restricting such access. Now, you know, there was a lot of stuff that people were complaining about with President Bush and all the stuff that was going on. But here we go. The National Cyber Czar is going to have... Oh, this is the other folks. This is the folks from... we're not going to answer that. That says unknown. I know who that is. That's the 1K people saying, hey, your bag is there. But this 51-page bill does not define what private sector networks mean. But you can only imagine. It could include your local ISP. That's a private internet, right? So, you're surfing the internet one morning and the president decides that Time Warner needs to shut down their network. He can do it. There would have to be some pretty dire circumstances for that to happen. But this is ongoing, growing powers within the United States government. All right, a look inside Twitter's new discovery engine. Twitter has came out and did a pretty good blog post today about some things they're doing with search. They're changing, and not everyone has search on their Twitter page. Only a number of people do. They've been souping up their search feature, and this discovery engine is going to be pretty cool. It's going to allow you to really find a lot of real-time results. You can look at hottest trends. You're going to be able to do a lot of stuff that you can do with a lot of tools that are currently out there. TweetDeck and Twirl are two that come to mind. TweetDeck is actually causing some of the problems that Twitter's having right now as far as response time. But the company is taking some steps here to strengthen its own search features. And I'm excited to see this stuff come because I do a lot of unique searching on search.twitter.com. You find a lot of cool stuff, but it's nothing that I can really, I have to have an RSS feed hitting it all the time, you know, to catch everything. And that doesn't help the infrastructure on Twitter either. So we'll see what they do with this, but this new discovery engine should work out real good. A lot of people are really upset that the Skype plugin for iPhone or the Skype iPhone app is not, it can't be used over the, when you're not connected to Wi-Fi. So you have to have a Wi-Fi connection to use Skype on the AT&T iPhone. That isn't the case in all countries. There's some of the countries do allow their users to actually use the 3G or Edge data networks. There's some countries that don't even allow the Skype to be used in the country or even to be loaded on the iPhone. So this is, you know, this is concerning. But nothing's going to stop you from using Skype on your computer. But, you know, these telcos, they probably have a right to be scared about the impact Skype is having. As we talked about in an earlier show, the high percentage of Skype international calls, it was like, 9 or 8%, something like that, that they were, all international calls was being routed through Skype. That's huge, and that's huge dollar losses for these conglomerates like AT&T and some of the other networks. So, Angela, I'm live streaming right now. You'll have to wait. Everyone wants to talk to me right now. Let's do a little trick here, and we'll tell Angelo to. Do I have Pigeon loaded up? Oh, I didn't load it up. We'll load it up, and we'll tell him to come watch the front page of Geek News Central. Well, April 1st is come and gone. Conficker. I came, I saw, I did nothing. Well, you know, a lot of hype for a lot of nothing. Wasn't very much of an impact. So really, a lot of people got stressed out for no reason. And so did you guys see anything? Did you guys hear about anybody getting infected? I haven't. But anyway, let me see here. I'm going to write to Angelo. Check GNC homepage, and he'll figure out I'm doing a show. So PC World is basically reporting it was a lot of nothing, a lot of hype for nothing. Of course, 60 Minutes made people almost hysterical. And obviously, a lot of machines did not get wiped out. And so we'll see what happens. But, you know, there was so much publicity about this thing, it got quarantined in a big, big way. Now, here's an article out of Australia that I find to be almost comical. And I don't know what you guys will think about this. And I don't know what I would think if I was a employer reading this. But it says, those who surf Facebook and YouTube at work are often more productive. Now, you know I say often? well, productive meaning you get more work done or you're productive watching videos. They say that folks, it's a certain portion of folks that actually surf Facebook and YouTube are as much as 20%. People who surf the internet for fun at work within a limit of less than 20% of their total time in office are more productive by about 9% than those that don't. People need to zone out for a bit to get back their concentration. Think back to when you were in class listening to a lecture. After about 20 minutes, your concentration probably went right down, yet after a break, your concentration was restored. I don't know about that. You know, I don't know if I was an employer, and 20%, if you're working 8 hours a day, You know, that's a lot of time. I don't know. Well, I guess it's true. You know, everyone takes a little coffee break now and then. But if I'm in front of the computer, I need just to get up and get away. What do you guys think about this? Love to hear your comments. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, of course, is 619-342-7365. Do you find yourself more productive when you sneak a little surf over to Facebook or YouTube, do a little kind of playing around, seeing what's new, and then go back to work? Do you find yourself more productive? Or as an employer, how do you feel about that? Do you let a little bit of this action going on? I think everyone probably does it to a certain extent. I don't know. How strict are they at your employers? Do they completely forbid it and you get fired if you are caught doing that type of activity during normal work hours outside of breaks? It's probably, I know probably the answer on that. Okay, here's a article on Wired. Just talking, of course, about Wired here a few minutes ago. Where Gadgets Go to Die talks about a facility that strips, rips, and recycles. And the thing I was liking about this article was, I'm sure there are metric tons of electronic gear that go in our landfills every year. Matter of fact, my wife, we had three or four computers that I stripped down, and they were ready to go to the essentially the recycling center. My wife said, "Just throw them in the trash bin." I'm like, no, we can't do that. So we took them to a place that actually takes electronic devices, and they recycle them. But, you know, all of us have probably been guilty from time to time for throwing something away. I remember years ago throwing a VHS away, just threw it in the trash. We probably could have went to one of these centers and been stripped down and recycled. But I just wonder what percentage of stuff goes into landfills today that could go to places like this or being outlined on Wired. And you look at their process, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool set of pictures here. All right, pretty short show tonight. Don't have a lot of super great content for the Friday release of the show, but I do have a voicemail and some emails to get into. Let me go ahead and load up the audio comments. As always, you can send comments to geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Pretty long voicemail, and let me go ahead and play that. Have not reviewed it, so we're going to see who has something to say. After the voicemail, we'll get into the email comments.
Hey, Todd. Brian here.
Hey, Brian.
A couple things I wanted to mention. I'll try to be quick. Try to do my best, Billy Mays. Hey, don't tell me that Skype application for the iPhone lets you make local calls. I mean, I heard you say international. You know, the Android has had a few apps for a while. One of them's a Skype app for international, but you can't do local. That's really what I want, but I can't imagine any of the cellular providers would allow that on any device. But if that thing makes you make local calls, that's going to really bum me out. Since I've gone to Android. The other thing, you were talking about the satellite radio going extinct because of the stream. And, you know, I've said for a long time, unless you need to be mobile and you have anything above dial-up, you're crazy. I just think anyone's crazy to pay for that when you have the choices you got on streaming internet radio. But now, you know, with the mobile devices, the Android has a couple great apps. You know, you're talking about Shoutcast. Yeah, it links you directly to Shoutcast. I mean, but you can enter the IP address for any, URL for any internet station. I mean, maybe not if it's streaming real media or Windows, but I don't listen to those anyway. But it really was a game changer. Guys, I know, they pay for satellite because they want specific programming. You know, one of the guys I work with wants to hear Howard Stern. Well, I don't listen to Howard Stern, but there is a Howard Stern stream.
True.
from Shoutcast. Maybe it's stale. I don't know. But the last thing is podcast aggregator or catcher. I don't use iTunes. I don't have an iPod. And I've been using Juice, but, you know, I'm really looking for something. I would really like something that syncs across, like, multiple computers. You know, the way, like, Foxmarx or Dropbox does. You sign in, and it syncs whatever you have. In other words, if it was the podcast, it would sync all the different ones you subscribe to on any computer, because, you know, I'm hooking my device to different computers on different days and so forth. And, you know, I don't have the same subscriptions in some as others. If I add a new one or take one away, I mean, that would be just a really great feature. You know, I mean, I think I've talked about it before with podcasting, just how you got to make it as simple as possible. And you know, a lot of the people I work with, for example, they don't download my podcast because they can't figure it out. I mean, the only way they do it is they do a direct download from the website. They can't be bothered with the aggregator and or podcatcher and everything. And I really think, you know, to make it as dumb as possible, I think the way the DVR works, I mean, I'm surprised, but DVR is really taken off. And, you know, people who are ordinarily maybe not so tech savvy are using DVRs. And I think if you could have a grid, a program grid that worked with your podcatcher, that worked as easy as a DVR, and it would sync across multiple computers, I mean, I think that that would really make a difference. And that would be really great if you guys at Blueberry or whatever, if you develop something like that. I don't know if you guys even have a specific podcatcher that you promote or that you developed. But, yeah, I'd like to hear what you think about that. Anyway, all right, enjoy the show.
Hey, thanks for the call. Boy, I don't know where really to start on that one, but we have not developed a podcatcher just because, you know, we've tried to make, you know, we're right now a company that is definitely focused on helping podcasters build their shows, and that obviously is a, you know, listener building is a portion of that. iTunes and Zune Marketplace are very obviously the two top devices that are being used, but, you know, I think Angelo had said at one time, and that we're tracking like 100 different devices now, 100 different programs that actually can download, you know, podcasts, anything from the mobile phone. You know, I think it's gotten pretty simple to do, but I agree with you. There's a certain portion of people that, you know, maybe don't have a media player or just don't fully understand. One thing that we're trying to do is make it easier for people to, you know, to consume the content. I think that's our goal, is to make it easier for them to consume content on our sites and other places. But also, we want to make it, you know, make distribution a bigger portion of our business. And one of the companies we've talked to, I talk about Boxy a lot here, is we've looked at the Boxy API, considered bringing the all of the Blueberry Network content onto Boxy. That will give people an option. But again, you got to be, if you're a geek, you may have Boxy. If you're not a geek, you don't. It's, you know, in order to get on these big television networks, in other words, if you want to be on Time Warner's cable channel menu, in order to, you know, have this data be available for people to subscribe to, you got to pay them money. They are in the business of, you know, distributing content. But for people like us, you're going to have to pay to be there. I don't know what the solution is completely, but I tell you, I'd love to hear some input from folks on what you think some simple ways it would be for people to enjoy and be able to consume this content. Really, I think, you know, the iTunes one-click subscription makes a lot of sense. As many iPods as there are out there, you know, it's probably the best choice right now for, you know, for a recommendation service. I don't particularly use it. I continue to use one of the older programs, but I don't necessarily talk about or recommend that anymore just because it doesn't work with real well with Vista. Doesn't play nice with it. So I don't. There's some challenges there in on distribution for people's podcast, and a lot of it is also the amount of money it's going to take to build something and the time to do that. Is it worthwhile from a business perspective to do so? But thanks for your comments. A lot of things there. I'm sure audience members will have some feedback as well. Hey, this email that I got from Richard, I don't know if I read this before, but I want to go over this again because I don't think I got any feedback. I'm looking at the date on this. I'm pretty sure I did not. He says, "Hey, Todd, I was recently unlucky enough to get a virus on my PC, and I think it was caused by a file my son downloaded, thinking it was a game. My virus scanner would have picked up the problem on the next scan. Other than that, I noticed because I got some replies that the address were not reachable from email that I had sent. It occurred to me I didn't know what the correct course of action would be for an infection, but I did the following. I changed my email password on, this was after he cleaned the virus out, changed his email password on all accounts, emailed everyone from the compromised account via webmail on a different PC to say there was a problem, and I would email them with a specifically entitled email when it was resolved, ran two different virus products to check for infection, AVG. My standard one was first, which found the problem and cured it, and I then ran Kaspersky, because I just destroyed that, online scanner for the second opinion. I have now given Outlook my new password and now waiting a few days before emailing everyone, so I am in the clear. In your opinion, is there anything else I should have done? Good question. I don't know. I've gotten hit once or twice in the past, and I've just worked real hard to get rid of it, and I don't think I've really done anything after that. Once it's gone, it's gone. But that's a good question for everybody out there. Has anyone got any more tips for him on what he should have done after he cleaned up the virus? Got an email from Trucker Tom saying, hey, HANA connects brain thoughts with robotics. Tom, where are you finding this stuff? I'll have that one linked up in the show notes for you. Got an email from Jack, and it's on the Dallas meetup. I'm waiting for it to load here. See, this hotel has got some, I've got this computer IMAP'd. Todd, I know it's late, but if you'd like to attend the Dallas area meetup, looking forward to seeing you. Jack, we will definitely be having that. That'll be going down. Let me look at the actual date here so I don't give you the wrong date. That'll happen on Friday, April 10th. Okay. Got an email from Bruce, and he's in Amesbury, UK, near Stonehenge. He says, hey, Todd. It appears almost criminal the way that the Zune is failing to make ground on iPod. I've been a longtime user of the Zune software in the UK, eventually having to import my own Zune 80 last year, and have been almost inseparable since Microsoft's failure to launch the Zune in Europe has me scratching my head. I had heard that it was something to do with the TV out function, something I have not used or even missed using. The blame lies directly with Microsoft and their lack of marketing in Europe. We don't get the Zune Pass over here, probably due to the fact that they have not released the device. Anyway, it's less about the hardware. It's the content that drives your listeners to keep coming back. For a long-time listener to your show, part of the HANA, keep up the good work. Regards, Bruce. Yeah, absolutely, Bruce. It's the content. It's always about the content. And thanks for being a long-time subscriber and part of the HANA here. And I've got a correction here from Jason, and he's got me all hooked up here on what's going on with the Apple App Store. He says, hey, Todd, I just want to let you know that you're worried about Apple's App Store going under because of, I didn't say about the App Store going under. I'm talking about developers going under. I'll let you know about the worry about Apple's App Store going under because of the new clause is false. The original article that started all this craziness clearly did not do any research. This clause has been there since day one. Now, if you guys remember, this was about people returning an app to the App Store within 90 days, and that Apple would keep their cut, and then the developer would get charged the full chargeback on the fee. So they would lose money, essentially, on the app. He says, it's been there since day one, and has to do with Apple being a credit card merchant than anything else. Most credit card companies give cardholders 90 days to dispute a charge, which is where the date comes from. Also, if a chargeback is done, Apple's responsible for the full amount plus a penalty. Apple does do refunds even today. However, they are very rare and only happen for apps that lie about features or when there are accidental purchases. As a developer, I've had a couple of refunds on my app. These happened when I had a promotion and I made my app free for a short time. When I bumped the price back up to 99 cents, it takes time for it to get reflected, and some users ended up paying 99 cents for what they thought was free. After contacting Apple, they refunded the full money to the user and debited my account only 70 cents. This is the way Apple sent it for Apple devs that have commented on the store so far. Okay, cool. That's a good clear up, and that's fair. I understand that completely, Jason. I guess the thing I was not happy with was the fact that they were, basically keeping their commission, and obviously it doesn't look like they are. He says, this is from Jim. I can't believe you did not read the article or tell people why we think the ad is fake. This is about the Microsoft ad, about the gal who got the $1,000 or got the laptop for $1,000. Notice, at 13 seconds in, when she walks into the store, there's a balding guy with a jacket and striped shirt and camera walking by. He is still walking by when she leaves the store, filmed on the other camera. That gave her less than a second in the store. She said she walked in and looked around, but how could this be? Jim, it's a commercial. Of course, it's a commercial. Do you think Apple is going to let anyone come in the store and actually film a commercial for Microsoft in there? Not going to happen. Come on. It's a commercial. She was an actress. It was an ad. Okay, you want full disclosure. She didn't walk in the store. But okay, Jim, can you go and find a Mac for the specs she wanted for $1,000? No. Jim, you're a long-time listener. You do a lot of good contributions to the show. Thanks for sending that to me. Trucker Tom also sent me another email. Basically, it's on this Senate legislation where it would federalize cybersecurity. And I'll have this linked up in the show notes. This is ongoing stuff that's pretty scary. Got a email from Luke. He said, "Hello, Todd. Just a quick note to ask you to put me on any of your testing lists or for we'll be looking for around 100 listeners to participate in some new media panels." Absolutely, Luke. I'll have you on the list for our 100 listeners who are going to participate in some new media panels. He said, "I'm trying to get more into open source way of thinking and trying to help anyone when and where I can. It's only testing and my options at the moment, but I hope to help." On a side note, when are your travels bringing you to the UK for the international meetup? Well, that's a good question. Let's find a sponsor to bring me to the UK. You know, I think one thing about, I'm going to tell you, Luke, the what we're going to be having the listener participation for will be for a commercial venture thing. So it's not an open source thing. So I just wanted to let you know that it's something that we're developing that is a secret. But those on the panel are going to figure out pretty quick what it is. I got an email here from Carl from Sweden. He says, "I'm just a little behind on the show, and right now I'm listening to show number 462, where someone from Australia called in to tell you more about the internet filtering law over there. He mentioned the children. I don't know if you recall, but I wrote you a very long letter a while back complaining about some proposed law in the U.S. making the clicking noise mandatory in all cameras. I said this law was basically a scam to get someone reelected. All these kind of laws are, like your Australian listener said, who is going to argue against a law that protects the children or stop terrorists. The Bush administration used the terrorist thing every time they wanted to pass a law. It's ridiculous, and it won't accomplish anything. To quote Obama, look, I know that you're protecting underage children from adult material and stuff like that is important for parents, but stupid laws are not the way to go about it." Okay, I don't think Obama said that. "And in my opinion, you have to know the dark side." Okay, that was from Carl. So I guess what he said to quote Obama said, look, he has that in quotes. So he continued on the comments. "I know that protecting underage children from adult material and stuff like that is important for parents, but stupid laws are not the way to go about it." Okay. In order to know what's good, and I think it's up to the parents to be responsible and educate the kids about these sort of things and not the government. Have a nice day and keep up the great work with the show if you want, Carl in Sweden. You know, Carl, I think what this boils down to is obviously parents are the first line of defense for their kids, no matter what. But I do know that, like, the clicking camera stuff, where I think most cell phones are going to do that. We talked about how people can disable it. But, you know, there's a lot of, in Japan, really big abuse on that. In trains where people can't move, you know, these guys are these upskirt things. It's just disgusting. And, you know, I don't think that the Australian filtering stuff had everything to do with protecting the children, because what was there? There was gambling sites on that list, regular businesses. I don't know. I don't know how that 100% protected the children, but that's what they're doing. There's a big fight going on there about that. Also, I got an email from Russ. "Hey, I'm pretty open. I'm not sure what you suggest, but many good places here. What's the time for the event?" Again, lunchtime, Austin, Bone Daddies is where we're going to be. I'll be mailing everybody. Okay, I think that's it on email comments for the show tonight. Lots of stuff going on in Ustream, And people are, I haven't read all of the email. And when I shut off the recording here, I'll tell everyone where they can look at the mock-up, or actually the Geek News Central that is being worked on. We haven't worked on it here in about a week, so we're still having some of the same issues. But the new Geek News Central is coming, folks. I promise. I just got to find a few hours in the day to get it knocked out. We got to get the import stuff down right so the formatting is correct on the pages. But it is coming. And but it's like a fine wine, only with time. You know, you got to give it the time to make sure it's right. As always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. And I don't know what to say for here in the state of Texas, except I'll sign off in my normal way. We'll see you on next Tuesday. Everyone take care. And no, we're not in Hawaii, but aloha.